Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Tops, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump Topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I am Doug. I am here with my co-host Tyler this evening. Tim is taking a little bit of a break, and we'll hear from Tim here in a second. But first, I want to tell you about SquadQL. Would you like an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? I bet you probably would. Well, look no further and download the SquadQL mobile app. You need to crush it with your friends and rivals this year, and you're going to do that through SquadQL. They recommend the best starting lineup for you each week based on your starters, your bench players, and the free agent pool. Now, you're probably thinking, how do they do this? Well, the app connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS leagues, pulling in your actual roster and your team and your league scoring system. The app also provides waiver recommendations and player rankings each week, all year, based on your league settings. SquadQL truly is your go-to app this fantasy football season. Head to SquadQL.com to download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football secretary. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy lineup optimizer trusted by over 100,000 DFS players. You can also download RotoQL for free on both Apple and Android. Tyler, what'd you think about SquadQL?
It must have worked because I've had a good week. You know, when you dominate your leagues that you care about truly and deeply, I have three home leagues that I am in with very close friends. And these leagues are the first ones that I've ever been in, even before I started this. They mean a lot to me. And when I destroy, it is phenomenal. I'm a champion in one, which, you know, we're getting a trophy from Trophy Smack in soon for this, and it's gonna stay right in my house. I told my wife where I'm gonna put this thing. It's a 26 inch. It's got the football on
top. It's good that you warn her before you do it. It's good. That's good.
Oh yeah, I'm loving every minute of it, and I'm usually not a big trash talker, but this year, and how much I dominated in this league this week. I just couldn't help myself. I had to. And the trash talk started. Of course.
I will give you a reminder. It's not how you start. It's how you finish.
I agree.
But you know what? Enjoy it while it's here. My brother-in-law hung like 200 points in his league, which is a lot. So he's been trash talking a lot. Meanwhile, my team scored like 106. And I'm like, you know, whatever.
No, it's awesome. It's a great time of year. Week one is almost done. We've got the Lions game almost in the books. You know, my rookie of the year, Sam Darnold, looks like a rookie of the year.
I'll give you that. It's true.
And, yeah, I'm just happy football's back. I'm excited. We were talking off air to see the Rams beat up on Oakland. Or maybe, just maybe, Gruden has a couple Gruden grinders in there to just come out of nowhere and dominate the Rams. It's been a fun week because there's been a lot of scoring. A lot of the big names did big things.
True. Yeah, it was definitely a nice week. I mean, I made the joke on another podcast that I do that, you know, week one, those 1 o'clock games is usually like 3 or 4 touchdowns total in the first quarter, and it's usually pretty slow every year. Not this year. I mean, that Tampa Bay Saints game was absolutely lit. It was like 27-27, like not even at halftime, and I was like, what is going on? This is crazy. So yeah, lots of good things. And we have a new format to the show for the season, which is pretty cool. So we're still going to bring you news on injuries and things like that. We're going to go over some college football for you guys that do Devy. So Tyler is a big Devy guy. I dabble a little bit, so I'm not as well-versed. I know who the players are, but I don't follow it quite as closely as Tyler and Tim do. We're going to bring you some notes and observations on what we saw during week one, and then we're going to give you some dynasty buys. So, but before we do that, Tim sent us a clip. He couldn't be here today. He had some things happen to his family, something about an appendix getting removed, and schedules were crazy. My son was off from school. Tyler had to work. Like, just a lot of stuff going on. So Tim did want to send us a quick note on his week one observations. So here you go.
Hey, guys. What's going on? This is Tim. I just wanted to step in real quick and say hello. Due to some family medical issues, I could not make the pod this week. But I promise I'll be back next week. But I just wanted to hit you guys real quick. As far as my college players go, I was doing a little traveling this week. I didn't get to watch a ton of college football until late Saturday night. But I did get to watch a little bit of West Virginia again. And West Virginia's quarterback, Will Grier, is my QB1 right now. This kid is playing out of his mind. So far this year, he's completed 76.7% of his passes. He's got 9 touchdowns to 1 pick and a QBR of 229.4. This kid's playing lights out, and he's hitting his receivers in stride. He's hitting the running backs out of the backfield. He's dropping the ball in the tight holes. He shows touch. He shows power. The kid can make all the throws on the football field. Fantastic, fantastic college prospect there out of the University of West Virginia. So just keep your eyes on him. And then as far as week one of the NFL season, what a fun week it was. I hope your guys' fantasy teams did well, and I hope you have no regrets as far as your lineup choices go. But what I liked out of week one, obviously, first off, let's talk about the Sunday night game. Aaron Rodgers essentially Mick Foley'd the Chicago Bears. He got taken out on the cart and then came back in just a few moments later just to have this awesome comeback and win the game. You know, good things there for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. But let's say, you know, it's week one and Rodgers is nicked up. Let's say something happens or what they thought was kind of a minor deal turns into something bigger. Where do you really see the Packers going? Personally, I think Williams didn't look great running the ball. I think that once Aaron Jones would come back from his suspension, I think it would be the Aaron Jones show there. I think he's the most athletic running back that they have in Green Bay. So just my thoughts there for Green Bay. Hopefully Aaron does not get injured. I know, you know, he's obviously one of the best quarterbacks to ever even play the position. So I'm not wishing that kind of ill will on him at all. But as far as the rest of the league goes, I think it was a good week of football minus the, minus the Bills. Obviously they just did not show up to play football this week. Congratulations to Cleveland on the tie. I don't think I've ever congratulated a team or a city on, acquiring a tie, but good for you. I thought Joe Mixon looked good against the Colts. Some other things you might want to look out for. I'm trying to think of some of the bigger injuries. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I know Fournette said after the game that his hamstring's not going to be a big deal and he will be back next week. So hopefully we can watch the injury reports this week and maybe he's not lying to us and he'll be back and ready to go next week. Arizona looked pretty bad against Washington. Denver, Seattle had a fun game. Here you go. I want to apologize. Just a week or two ago, I was asked of the tight end situation in Seattle, and I said it would not be Disley. I was completely wrong, completely, and I'm big enough to say that. Obviously, it's Disley at this point. I didn't see that happening. And one more apology before I go, Tyreek Hill. I'm sorry. I've never been a fan. I've never been on the bandwagon, and there are plenty of people who are. And I'm obviously wrong. I mean, he started with a punt return, then he takes that slant pattern and runs past everybody else. And when you just have that kind of weapon being speed that nobody else can keep up with, then you're going to win some. And for me, this was a loss. So I apologize. if you guys listen to me in any way, shape, or form about either one of those two players. But, you know, it's week one. Let's make some good roster moves when it comes to waiver wires this week. Let's make hopefully better informed decisions when it comes to our starting rosters for week two. And let's go out there and have some fun. It's been good. It's been a great offseason. I look forward to doing this all season long and talking to some college football players as well. But I look forward to talking to everybody again next week. Sorry I couldn't make it for the big show. See you guys. Bye.
You know, awesome. I have to agree with Tim completely. I actually we have no idea at the moment what he just said. So if he's completely wrong, that is going to be funny.
He could have called us both asshats and we would be like, yeah, that was excellent.
He is very wise.
He's wise beyond his years. So let's roll into some news. We had quite a few injuries here in week one. Now, it's not different than any other week typically in the NFL season. I know everyone's like last year was like, oh, injuries are so bad this year. This is the worst it's ever been. Well, guess what? 2018, we're going to hear it's the worst it's ever been. There's so many injuries. This happens every single year. These guys play a violent sport. Injuries happen all the time. But we're going to give you the ones that were the most impactful for your fantasy teams. Here in week one, the first one I want to go over is Doug Baldwin. He hurt his other knee. He has an MCL sprain on his good knee, and it looks like he's probably going to be out 3 to 6 weeks. Now he has two knees that are not operating at 100%.
Hey, Sam Bradford, hold my beer.
Yeah, hold my beer. Yeah, this is not looking good for Doug Baldwin. Tyler, was the time to sell Doug, was his last window of selling Doug Baldwin this summer? And is it now he's 30 years old. I know that can be like with some dynasty players, like, oh, he's 30, he's going to be crap, which isn't always true. But when you have two injured knees, ouch. I don't think I'm even going out and buying Doug Baldwin in dynasty right now on the low.
I actually sold him this summer in a home league straight up for Allen Robinson. It was one for one.
I love that.
And yeah, I mean, if you were able to sell him, good for you. But I think with receivers like him, you can kind of see the window and you got to jump on the opportunity. I mean, you need to sell at the highest. I get it sucks giving him up, and he's been very good for you for the past three seasons. But there's a time when you just have to just hit the reset button. Go for Cortland Sutton plus and just reset. Hopefully you had other assets that panned out that you can put in his place until that younger player is doing well for you. But there's I think you're losing value now, and I don't think he's going to retain it.
Yeah, and I think this is a good opportunity. So if Tyler Lockett pops off with Doug Baldwin out, I mean, I know he had that long broken coverage touchdown yesterday from Russell Wilson. Tyler Lockett rather strings together a few really good games, that's a guy that I would be shopping as well. I'd be like, Tyler Lockett. I mean, to me, I don't think he's a one trick pony per se, but he's known for the big play. I don't know if I don't think he's a do it all type of wide receiver that can handle 8 to 10 targets a game. Plus, he has an injury history too. So if Tyler Lockett has a few good games in a row, that could be a really good window for you to sell Tyler Lockett.
Yep. Pop Lockett, trade it.
Nice. The next injury, this is no surprise. This guy seems to get injured quite a bit. He's a big name. It's Leonard Fournette. He left the game with a hamstring injury. TJ Yeldon took over duties for the rest of the game. Doug Marrone says it doesn't appear to be serious. I don't own Leonard Fournette in any of my dynasty or redraft leagues. It's not that I dislike the player. I like watching him play, but it's just the injury history with the ankles. Now it's a hamstring. Like, if you have this guy on your team, you got to know he's not going to play all 16. I mean, a lot of running backs don't, but I mean, he has the potential to miss multiple games with injuries. So that's one of the reasons I don't own any Leonard Fournette anywhere. Tyler, what's your thoughts on Fournette and this injury here?
Well, I do own Fournette, and he was part of my hot takes. You know, somebody who's going to get 1,600 to 2,000 rushing yards and 16 touchdowns. I'm not scared because he looked great. When he was in the game, he looked fantastic.
He did look good.
And he was catching balls. I think he had 3 catches, which is also a plus. I honestly think it's just a hamstring. The way he got tackled is the reason why. If you watch it, he kind of got bent in, almost like bent in half, and his knees were kind of up against his chin, and then all of a sudden it got pushed weird. So it wasn't his fault.
Kinda sounds like me on a lonely Saturday night.
kind of like how you constantly see Mariota getting hurt, but his injuries are not his fault. His are, I feel like Mariota gets cheap shot after cheap shot, and that's how he gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Mariota, he may seem fragile, but he's a guy who seems to get tackled weird. Same with Fournette. I mean, he's a guy that, with how big he is, maybe he's not the most flexible guy. Maybe take up yoga. I don't know.
Do some ballet dancing like Alex Collins?
Yeah, it's river dancing.
Yeah, it's similar. It's, you know, it's Irish versus like wherever ballet dancing is from. Russia, maybe? Yeah.
France? Russia.
I don't know.
North Korea. That sounds about right. I think Fournette will be okay. I mean, you see reports that it could be an ankle. I know you saw a report that it could be an ankle. I'm almost 95% sure it's a hamstring, and it's a mild. He's day-to-day. He should play next week, and I think you're starting him against the Patriots.
Yes, I would do that as well because the Patriots' run defense is not that great. All right, so let's get to a couple tight end injuries here. A couple older tight ends. You've got
us? A couple older tight ends.
I am old, and I am still tight.
Tight.
So tight like a taiga. So Greg Olsen went down with a foot injury, left the game. He was in a walking boot and crutches. Not good, because Greg Olsen had a foot injury last year. He had the Lisfranc surgery. You know, he had that really nice game in the playoffs where he went over 100 yards. I think it was against the Saints. And he looked good in the beginning of the game. Goes out with a foot injury. Who knows what his status is? Now, Delanie Walker, his status is certain. He is going to miss the 2018 season with a dislocated ankle, as well as he's got some broken something or others. I think he's got some torn tendons.
Yeah,
but he's going to be out.
Not good.
He's going to be out for the year. So, Tyler, I tweeted this out yesterday. The rise of the young tight end is going to start a little bit earlier in these two squads. So you've got Ian Thomas from Carolina.
Who we all love.
And we all love. He's got the hands larger than my head. And I have a large head. Delanie Walker, obviously out. And that clears the path for Jonnu Smith, which I own him in a couple dynasty leagues. And when he signed that extension, I just deeply sighed. I was like, ugh.
Yep,
and it's not because I don't like Delanie Walker, because he's a great player, but now that he's injured, this clears the way for two young athletic tight ends. Now Ian Thomas isn't quite as athletic as Jonnu is, because Jonnu's a freak, but yeah, I love the opportunity that these guys are going to have to kind of grow as players. Now I think it's going to be more difficult for Ian Thomas as a rookie. You know, the nice thing about this, when you look at it from a dynasty lens, is that Greg Olsen was one of the things in the way for players like DJ Moore to get more targets. So DJ Moore only played, I think, 17 snaps yesterday. McCaffrey got a huge workload. Funchess didn't get worked until late. But I think this helps DJ Moore year one from a dynasty perspective. And then with Jonnu Smith, I mean, I think that's going to help Corey Davis, who already saw 13 targets yesterday. And I think Jonnu can be a one-for-one replacement for Delanie, because I think he's going to be that good. But if he's not and they don't go to him, Corey Davis has sky-high potential to, you know, if Mariota's healthy, and we'll get to that in a minute, if Blaine Gabbert's throwing him the ball, Corey Davis RIP in 2018. But if Mariota's healthy, I think Corey Davis will consistently soak up double-digit targets every game. Now, what he does with them is a different story. But Tyler, what's your spin on these two young tight ends getting a shot?
I love Ian Thomas. The dude's a monster, very athletic. But yeah, I hope it goes to Moore. I did not like how they used Moore. You spent a first round pick on this guy. I get receivers take a little bit, but man, use him. Get the ball in his hands and let that rookie do what he does best and run after the catch. And then yeah, like you said with Jonnu, my only fear is that he's got Derrick Henry syndrome. And that it's all hype and not enough targets or play to be fantasy relevant. I know Tennessee. Jonnu did look
really good in his rookie year. He had a couple touchdowns, and you know, with Delanie Walker. So I think Jonnu's the real deal.
That was exotic Smash Mouth, Doug.
Yeah, I know. It's fine. Exotic Smash Mouth. Get out of here with that. All right, let's stay with that.
Sounds like a '90s pop band.
Well, that's because Smash Mouth was one. How about it's a band from overseas that covers Smash Mouth songs.
Yeah, Smash
so
Mouth.
So it's an exotic
like
Smash
that.
Mouth. Yeah, yeah. So it's like a Brazilian band.
We are from Sweden.
Yeah, now we sing All Star by Smash Mouth.
And then techno starts playing. Yeah.
Oh man, I would be like, am I high on LSD right now? Let's stay with the exotic Smash Mouth, or artist formerly known as. And Marcus Mariota injured his elbow. He left the game completely. Blaine Gabbert came in and was Blaine Gabbert. You know, everyone, there's some people starting to bang the drum that Mariota is never going to be what we think he should be. And now in Dynasty, I think his value, I mean, it's 1 week. And I know he had a bad preseason and he had a year last year that wasn't good. But I still believe that Marcus Mariota is a very good NFL quarterback. So I think this creates an opportunity. You may have someone that drafted Mariota in their Superflex leagues, and they're just like, you know what? I'm done with this dude. And they might try to deal him on the low. What do you think on that, Todd? Are you trying to go out and acquire Marcus Mariota today?
No, I agree. I still believe in Mariota. And it's more of the week one overreaction. Week one, you're going to have the most overreaction on anything. I know I will overreact on Tyreek Hill, but we've liked Tyreek Hill. And I think it's come to the point where I need to put him in top 10. Doug, I just talked to you off air. I moved him at 10. He is in my top 10. And yeah, the dude is unstoppable. And with Mariota, he's got talent. Like I mentioned earlier, his injuries are all fluky, it seems. Almost like he gets tackled wrong. He had a cheap shot on that play, which is why he got hurt. He landed funny on it because of the cheap shot. It sucks. I like Mariota. I think he's okay, unless it's some weird Tommy John surgery-ish type injury.
Yeah, like
injury.
A UCL type of injury, which that would be bad.
Yeah, that would suck, and it would be almost 2 years until he probably would be right. So, we got to wait on the news. We hope the news comes out okay. And hopefully Tennessee didn't just, oh, nope, his elbow's hurt. You're playing bad. We're just going to sit you. Like that, I've heard rumors of that as well.
I mean, he is the franchise quarterback, so, I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah. I just hope he's okay because I do agree with you. I think you need to go out and buy.
Or you can wait. If he is healthy and he does come back, he plays like three really good defenses the next 3 weeks. So I think it's Houston, Philadelphia, and somebody else that has a good defense. So you could possibly, if Mariota's healthy and he struggles the next 3 weeks, you could probably even get him cheaper than you could today.
A side note, what are you doing with Henry?
I'm not worried about Henry. I mean, I know Deion Lewis got a lot of work. He looked good. He had the touchdown that he backpedaled, the signature Deion Lewis like spin and backpedal, which I love because I saw it in New England all the time. Henry, he did have a long touchdown called back, so there's that. And I think if that doesn't get called back, then no one's even worrying about Derrick Henry today.
I agree, but I think I'm out.
Really?
I think I am.
Deion Lewis, here's the thing. If Deion Lewis goes down with an injury, and he is a fragile running back, he's had one really healthy season, and that was last year. If Lewis goes out, it's the Derrick Henry show.
DeMarco Murray comes back.
No, he's not. Get out of here with that. Oh, they're going to sign Orleans Darkwa. No, it would be Derrick Henry would be the show. They would probably sign like a third down back. Maybe Akron Wadley comes back and plays on third down.
That would be awesome.
I know you would love that. So let's move on. DeSean Jackson suffered a concussion. He did have two touchdowns and looked pretty good yesterday with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I assume he probably won't miss much time, but just keep an eye on that situation. Obviously, DeSean Jackson, if you're in a win-now team, I could see acquiring him. But other than that, I'm not interested. And last but not least, pour out a little liquor for Jeremy Hill. He tore his ACL for the Patriots. He is out for the year. And the Patriots also cut your boy Chad Hansen, and Riley McCarron took a punt off the face and fumbled it and turned it over. So guess what? Bill Belichick's like, yeah, see you later, Riley. Have a nice day. He is gone. I don't expect he's going to be back this time. So the Riley McCarron era is over. Apologies to Matt Kelly, the Podfather.
It's so crazy. Jeremy Hill, rookie year, next big running back.
He led the NFL in rushing in the second half of the year.
He is going to be a monster. He looked amazing. Literally looked crazy good. Like one of the best running backs in the league. Then he's done. I don't know what happened.
Like, yeah, that second year he disappointed, and then after that he's been junk. But here's the thing with the New England backfield. So now they only have three running backs on the roster. So they've
Which is normal for most teams.
Sure, but not for the Patriots. They usually carry like five. So they've got James White, Rex Burkhead, Sony Michel. They also only have three wide receivers on the roster again after today's cutdown. So they only have Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, and Cordero Patterson. They have three open roster spots right now. Supposedly, they had Corey Coleman in today for a visit. Any interest there, Tyler?
No.
Okay.
I'm out. I know.
Just it's the attitude, isn't it? It's not the player. It's not the play. It's the attitude. Yeah.
And the shoes.
But wouldn't this be a classic case of the Patriots like taking a flyer on after week one? No veteran salaries are guaranteed. So what if they took a flyer on Corey Coleman and then he becomes a thing? Like, wouldn't that be like the most New England Patriots thing ever?
Give me Dorsett, because Dorsett looked really good. What the Patriots have done with Dorsett, who is a player I confess I loved. I watched his Miami highlights, and I have never, like, he looked like Tyreek Hill in Miami. Like, he was fast. Like, he was lightning fast.
You know who looks like Tyreek Hill? I know this has been said before, but he did return a kickoff for a touchdown yesterday. It's Jakeem Grant. He's like the ghetto version of Tyreek Hill.
I picked him up in a couple of leagues, but he is tiny. He's 5'6", 5'7".
But he's fast.
I know Tyreek Hill is like 5'10".
Yeah.
But, yeah, he is. Yeah, Grant is fast.
He's fast. But in Miami, you'll never figure out what to do with him, so I think he'll end up popping on another team eventually. But, anywho, that's just a side note. So that's going to wrap it up for our injuries, which were brought to you today by Trophy Smack. Tyler talked about them a little bit earlier, that he's getting a trophy for his home league. We recommend you go to trophysmack.com and also get a trophy, whether it's your office league, home league, maybe it's a satellite dynasty league, you want to have a traveling trophy. The cool thing about Trophy Smack, you can take off the topper, keep it for yourself, get another one, and send it to the next person. And then as they win it, maybe they keep it for 2 years. And then flip that topper.
I have to interrupt you. They've got some amazing things in the works. I can't say it, but it is.
Oh, you tease.
It is literally going to change the way trophies are. I'm not even kidding. It's going to be awesome. So the best part about it is when you use code DHHRING, what do you get, Doug?
You get a fantasy championship ring, which is a $60 value for free when you order a trophy from trophysmack.com. I'm hoping, you know what I hope they build in is like a trophy. Now, don't give it away if this is actually happening, but a trophy that had some sort of like button and it like you could record smack talk. And they like say if you were the champion the year before, you could record a clip and then you send the trophy on and then they play it and you can like record stuff on it. That would be kind of neat. So
why don't you
bubble that up to your people.
Tape one of the Home Alone walkie-talkie speak things.
Oh, God.
Like he had in Home Alone 2. Just tape it to the trophy.
You could do that too, but that would ruin the aesthetics of the trophy. So let's move on. That's enough trophy talk. Make sure you, again, trophysmack.com, DHH ring, $60 ring for free. All right, so this segment is going to be pretty much led by my boy Tyler. I have only got one anecdote on these players because I don't watch college football actively, and I was super busy this weekend, so I wasn't even able to watch any. But Tyler, you want to have some notes here on some Devy players. So
yeah.
The first one that you want to go over is the big three wide receivers. Now, those three wide receivers, if you don't follow Devy, they're Brian Edwards, who's out of South Carolina. You've got Keneal Harry from Arizona State. And you've got A.J. Brown from Ohio State, correct?
Ole Miss.
See, I was 2 out of 3. That's not bad for a guy that doesn't know much.
All right, cool.
So tell me about these three guys. These are your big three potential 2019 class guys, correct?
Yes. So Edwards, who will literally be, I think, 19 by the time he declares for the draft. He will actually go into the draft. I'm pretty sure he'll be drafted at 19, and he will be 20 as the year begins.
He's going to be younger than Juju. Well, he's about the same age, yeah?
Super, super, super young. He is a guy that is huge, a guy that goes up and gets the ball, plays the ball amazing in there, very super athletic. Big time vert. He is looking good. I mean, he's got Debo on the other side doing the yards after catch
play. Is he snatching chains?
Yeah, Debo is a guy who literally catches the ball and runs with it. Very electric, Randall Cobb-esque. Cobb in his prime.
He looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, and then you got Harry, who is just a monster.
He's a beast.
Is probably the one guy that has come out in the past 5 years that looks a lot like AJ Green slash Julio. Like
I've watched actually a decent amount of Keneal Harry because I'm a Kalen Ballage guy. So I watched a lot of Arizona State, and I will agree with you on that. I think Harry has the potential to be that elite receiver.
Yep. And there's a play the other week. It might have been this week or last week, where he caught a ball at the line of scrimmage, and at being 6'3", 6'4", 215, the way he can move after the catch reminds me so much of Julio. It's crazy. Like, big guys shouldn't be able to do that, and he's able to, and that's what makes him great. AJ Brown is a guy that fits the NFL right now perfectly. He is 6'6", about 210 pounds, and is a phenomenal route runner. This guy can run every route. He is great with separation. He can play the outside. He's got very secure hands. Him and Harry will be 101, 102 till probably rookie drafts come. And it's going to be a receiver class. I have not seen a running back other than maybe Mike Weber. But he had
Bryce Love has been pretty disappointing thus far.
Yep, Love had a good week last week, but I with Love, it's more just take the ball, you'll break off a big play. That's what they hope for. They give him the ball a ton of times, and they just hope he breaks off a big play. And he's like 195
pounds. That doesn't work
pounds.
In the NFL. Yeah.
No, and he's tiny. Mm. I mean, people had trouble with McCaffrey. What are they going to do with Love, who's actually probably 10 pounds lighter? It's not going to be good.
That's for
but
true.
Yeah, Mike Weber's probably the big guy, the guy who's probably going to get the most hype coming into the next year's draft. He's a freshman of the year, his freshman year. He is a senior this year. So Weber's a guy that will probably be one of the running backs. Same with Montgomery. You're looking at him. And Anderson from Oklahoma, who's also a guy who looks good, who had a good week one, I think 6 for 100 and a touch.
Yep.
Or 2 touchdowns, and then the following week he had an all right game. I know he got a touchdown, but that Oklahoma offense is just electric. So it maybe it's just the offense, but Anderson's a guy to keep your eye on. Who a lot of scouts I know, Matt Miller, NFL draft scout on Twitter, said that he's probably the number one running back for him.
Nice. Yeah. So I mean, it's pretty widely known that this year's class is going to be very, very wide receiver heavy.
Oh, it's stacked.
And then as we come back into 2020, this is going to be like a 2016-2017 class, or no, 2017-2018 class, where you're going to be stacked up. Or was it 2016-2017? Yeah. That's what I meant.
It was 2017 rookies and then this year's rookies.
Yeah. So 2020 class is going to be extremely running back heavy. So I've been trying to acquire 2020 first wherever I can because you've got just a litany of great players. But Tyler, who's your number one player right now for 2020?
It's going to be a little shock because I do love the Florida State guy. Go Noles. DeAndre Swift. This guy, he is very well built. He's got a thick lower body, which is what you want to see. But he is so fast and so electric for his size. He reminds me a lot.
He runs swiftly.
Very swiftly. Very well done. But, man, he has great acceleration for his size. He's about 220, 225, I would probably guess around now. About 5'10", 5'11". Very well built. And, man, just another Georgia running back. He looked great last year. He's put on some muscle, it looks like, because he's getting the full workload. I love this guy. He is my 101 at the moment in 2020. And then you got to also look at A.J. Dillon, who's just
BC. Right in my backyard.
Travis May said he literally just looks like a god, like sculpted. He is sculpted from the gods to play running back. He may not be the fastest dude, but he is just a monster. You can't tackle him. You literally can't tackle this guy.
Yeah, and that's a great find for Boston College because they don't really have anything else other than A.J. Dillon.
I am almost sure he had 8 for 100. God, it had to have been like 130 plus last week and 3 touchdowns.
Absolute animal.
He is a monster. He broke off, I think, a 60-plus-yard run. just go watch highlights of this guy from last week, and you're going to be amazed. And then, of course, talk to me about Akers.
So I'm a Florida State guy, as are you. I loved watching Cam Akers last year. The difference that I see with Cam Akers now, the Florida State offensive line isn't doing him any favors. But at the same time, Akers to me looks like he's not as powerful. He looks a little bit leaner and slimmer. He's not running with the same type of violence that he did last year. Almost like his anticipation is a little off, and I don't know why that is, but he's splitting the backfield work with Patrick. And, you know, that first game they played where they got blown out, like, Akers wasn't really in their game plan, which was concerning. So it's going to be interesting to watch Cam Akers this year. I know he had that one long touchdown run in week one against Virginia Tech, which really saved his day, because up until that, he was totally Ronald Jonesing it with, like, 10 carries for 10 yards.
He also got caught from behind, which was worried.
He did get, well, here's the thing. That safety, I think it was, took a really good angle. So it wasn't necessarily because of Akers' speed. It was the angle that the safety took is what got him. But for me, like, if you're looking at box scores, be like, oh, Akers had a nice day. And then you look at his long, and it was like 80-something yards, and he finished with like 90 yards. Yeah, he had one nice play. And then this week against Samford, he didn't look all that great either. So I'm a little cautious on Cam Akers. Now, if you're in a Devy League and someone already owns him, and, you know, I tried to get him in Pigs too, because I'm a Florida State guy, I love Cam Akers, and I've talked to both of the owners, and they would not give him up for anything, and I had a bunch of assets. You know, if this trend continues, I may try to go back to the well. I still think he's a good player, but he needs to get some of that weight back. He looks thinner this year and not in the way that I want him to look. Because he was already fast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He came out very stocky. He was already at running back weight. I think he was around 215 when he came into Florida last year. That's perfect. Yeah. Don't change that.
He looks like he's probably closer to like 205 now. Like, he looks like he's lost some muscle and he's leaned out a little bit, which I don't know. I think he runs the best at that, the weight that he was, because he can run, he gets low and he runs violent and he keeps his legs moving. I just don't see that this year.
Get that man a sandwich.
Get him a Sammy. All right, so let's do a little bit of quarterback talk. I actually have a personal connection that knows the Will Grier family. So, which is a fun story. So you want to talk a little bit about Will Grier from West Virginia and then also Trevor Lawrence from the Clemson Tigers. So talk to me about these kids and what do you see that you like?
The arm talent on Grier is amazing. The fact that he transferred out of Florida and Florida was like, okay, see ya. Why? Like, Florida, you
Well, he had some character issues.
That's true. But maybe Virginia helped him. You know, meet Virginia.
I'd like to.
not Virginia.
I'm going to have that damn song stuck in my head now. Thanks.
Everybody is. Meet Virginia.
I hate you.
No, Will Grier, quarterback one next year. Can we agree?
Yeah, I think that's in the cards. That he'll be the quarterback one. Yeah, absolutely.
He has had a Baker
and it's a relatively weak class, but Grier should be the bell of the ball come draft season.
Oh yeah, he'll be the guy that is going to be up there in talks. Like, say the Giants don't do well and they're at 10, they could be in play to get Grier. He's going to be the guy that everybody's going to want to get. But then I have to talk to you guys about Trevor Lawrence. Dude is just a star. He got in 247sports.com. He rated perfectly. 99.9. So,
well, wouldn't it 100% be perfect?
You know what, Doug? I'm not good at math, and I was told there was not going to be math.
I'm here for the 0.01 variables, okay?
Trevor Lawrence is going to be a stud. He's going to be the best quarterback to come out since Luck.
Wow.
Mark it. This dude, watching him play is fun to me. Like, just watching him, he's so mature for being only 18. And it's crazy. I know the guy down in Southern Cal, I forgot his name, who's, I think, 17 years old right now because he declared early. He was able to declare early. Their starter, he's supposed to be like the next Tom Brady. He's pretty good. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is even far and above him. And Trevor Lawrence is going to be a guy in 2021. I know we're talking about that already. That's crazy. Whoa. Who's going to be the quarterback one? Mark it
so what,
here. Don't
so what you're saying is when it comes time of the year when you're in like a pigs league and you need to put a player to nominate, this might be a guy that you could put that might be under the radar right now.
Oh, no. He's probably already taken. I know. I was in pigs three, I was in a bidding war with him or for him.
Okay.
And I had to go with Justin Fields from Georgia, who's also a very talented quarterback, but from is starting now. Fields is a guy that is molded as Cam Newton. He's huge. He's got a massive arm, running upside, just an uber athlete. And he was right next to Lawrence for top quarterback. So those two are going to be good.
I've got DeAndre Francois as my Devy quarterback on the cheap in pigs too. And I like what Francois has done this year. But again, Florida State's offensive line,
he just gets beat up,
is not good. But you know what? Francois coming off the injury against Alabama last year, I know he threw three picks against West Virginia or Virginia Tech. Some of those weren't really his fault. But he looked really, really good this week. So again, as he starts to play some better competition, it's going to be interesting to see what Francois looks like. But I got him on the dirt cheap, and I like him a lot. So.
And also, don't forget that if he doesn't make the NFL, he's always got business opportunity. Could sell some weed.
you damn straight. All right, so let's move into some NFL notes from week one. So what we've seen so far. I did just see a Marshawn Lynch touchdown. Raiders are up 7-0. Let's go.
Beast mode.
So you want to talk a little bit about Marcus Mariota? I know we talked about the injury.
Yeah,
we talked about his dynasty values. Anything else that you wanted to put out there with Mariota?
Just still buy low. The dude is super talented, but you know the injuries are worrisome. He's had soft tissue injuries and now the elbow. You've got to put that in the perspective. But like you said, if you can get any discount on him in Superflex, go out and get him.
All right, the next one. Now, here's a guy that you've been banging the drum for. I know you've been acquiring him wherever possible. Second-round rookie pick, well, NFL draft pick, Ronald Jones, inactive week one. Do you think this is he's just not good enough to see the field type of inactive, or is it the coaching staff giving him a little bit of dose of reality here?
I mean, I think it's the giving a dose of reality.
Okay.
And I think it's... The guy, he's a five-star recruit. He has literally been just held on a pedestal his whole entire football life. I get it. And sometimes you need to be knocked down a peg or two to realize, hey, if I am not pushing myself, I'm not locked in like he was at California. Like there's no guarantees like it was at USC. But I'm not scared because I always... Remember, talent wins out. Rojo's super talented. Adam Spinks, the running back scout, go watch his stuff. He even showed film. And what he showed me and what I also saw showed a guy that was getting nothing. He wasn't getting anything.
Yeah, that offensive line was not doing him any favors.
And the thing that helps, Peyton Barber didn't have a fantastic game. Barber looked like He looked like an average running back. But they were throwing it all over the yard. And honestly, with how they were throwing the ball, if Rojo was playing, I think Rojo could have busted one off because they would have been so worried about that deep ball. The box would have been empty. Rojo would have been out throwing the ball. And I think it's going to happen. And can you tell me whose value has just completely tanked completely other than Rojo? Like this... I don't think
Rojo is his value is absolutely cratered. Do you think you could pick him up for a 2019 second right now?
I think you'd probably have to give up like a third and maybe like two seconds or an additional third. I honestly don't think you'd have to give up a first for him.
Right.
I think that's easy. You could probably walk away giving up a 19 second, and I would do that every single day.
I love it. Yeah, I have him in one of my redraft teams. He slipped to the 9th round in redraft, and I paired him with Peyton Barber, who I got a couple rounds later. This is before like Peyton Barber was the man, and then he started going in the 6th round. So I got good value on Barber. I was going to put in a waiver claim for this next player. I'm going to go a little out of order than our show sheet here. But I was going to put a waiver claim in for Philip Lindsay and drop Ronald Jones. And then I said to myself, Doug, you've dropped Odell Beckham Jr. You've dropped David Johnson before. In the same type of situation.
Did you drop Kamara last year?
No.
I did. And I lost him in the championship.
And see, that's what happened. So part of me is like, I know Rojo right now is like, I could probably drop him and maybe no one would pick him up. But if what if someone does, they stash him and then he ends up being a thing. And I know Philip Lindsay looked really good. We're going to talk about him in a moment. But I had the waiver in and then I canceled it because I was like, you know what? I'm going to be patient because I believe in the talent too. I own Peyton Barber, so I've got the backfield locked up. And he's like my last guy on my roster. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to be patient. I don't want it to come back to bite me in the ass.
And that is a reason why I am happy where I'm at as a dynasty owner. I know last year I saw Kamara week two get traded for 2 seconds in a league because he wasn't doing anything. Right. And AP was there.
People get so impatient.
Yes. And I know the fact like he didn't dress, but I do think it's a, hey, get your head out of your rear end type situation.
Yeah.
We know you're talented. Play like you know we know you can. And I think he's going to come out week four, week five, and do his thing. And like I completely agree. You got to be patient. There's a reason why very well-known people in the industry, like Nick Whalen, had Rojo at 2. Mm-hmm. Spinks had him at 2. And Adam Spinks is a guy that I went to with Todd Gurley last year, and I got offered Mixon for Gurley, and I talked to Spinks, and I'm like, hey, do I do this? He's like, as much as I like Mixon, he's like, I'm going to tell you something. Gurley's just about to break out. He's like, don't worry about Gurley.
Right.
And he straight up told me everything that he saw, and I held back from trading Gurley. And I'm so happy for it. Like, there are people in this industry that believe in Rojo that you should listen to. Not just me. You don't have to listen to me. I mean, I don't know as much as these guys, but these are legit tape watchers. Like, they just, that's all they do. So don't give up on Rojo. Go buy him. He is dirt cheap.
Yeah, and I think the same thing could be said for, I mean, I know it's not quite the drop that Rojo's had, but Sony Michel was inactive this week. He's coming off an injury as well. You know, Jeremy Hill's done for the season. We told you about that earlier. So if Michel can get healthy here in the next few weeks, you know, he's a guy that you could probably go out and possibly buy right now too that could have monster upside in a New England backfield that produces a top five backfield points every single year. Now, we don't know how that's going to be distributed, but Rex Burkhead, also a guy that has, you know, supposedly a partially torn ligament in his knee. He's had health issues over his career. Like, if Burkhead goes down and it's James White and Sony Michel, like, look out. Sony Michel is going to score mad points if that were to happen.
Oh, I've been trying to get Michel in a home league from somebody who needs a wide receiver, and I'm like, Aguilar for Michel? And the fact that he thought about it a little bit just tells everything about the whole week one overreaction.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's Aguilar had 8 catches, but they were for, like, 33 yards. So if you could flip Aguilar in, like, a second for Michel, like, no brainer.
Yep. And it's crazy. Like, this is how you can reap rewards in Dynasty is seen when players are just on the complete down and sell them. And then players, like, I made a trade for a player you want to talk about, Philip Lindsay. I traded him for a huge value.
All right. Why don't you talk about that? Because Philip Lindsay, you know, I talked about him dropping Rojo for him, which I'm not going to do. But I liked what I saw from Phillips Lindsay here in week one. A surprising workload, to be honest.
Yeah. I thought he looked good. He was a player we mentioned in the offseason, guy from Colorado. Right there at home, they love him there. He's a guy a lot of people root for, I know.
Are they Rocky Mountain High on him?
Yes. Rocky Mountain Oysters?
No. Sure.
No, Cecil Amy, who is up there covering the Broncos, he loves Lindsay. So this is a guy who is undrafted, Colorado. He's about 200 pounds, just a weapon. Think of just a pass-catching back. But he also ran the ball well. So the trade I made in a home league today, I wanted Baker. Guy wanted Lindsay. He's a Denver fan. So I traded Kittle. I traded AP, who is another guy that you could flip for. You got him for nothing. You could flip him for a second at the moment. They play the Colts next week, so maybe wait.
Yeah.
And use AP this coming in week two and then trade him, because I think AP is going to go off on the Colts.
He should.
But then, yeah, he's a guy that you got for free. Same with Lindsay, free agent waiver wire guy. and I got Baker, I got Anthony Miller, and I got Tyler Conklin. I traded Kittle, and I traded Lindsey, and I traded AP.
Yeah,
I like two players I got off the waiver wires for if my future quarterback, Anthony Miller, who we all love here on Dynasty Happy Hour, who we think is going to be a guy that's going to be probably a second half type guy when that offense fully is unleashed. But yeah, this is where the values change. I mean, look at Ogletree. Week one, how many years ago? That dude was worth
that was like five years ago. Yeah. Is Will Dissly this year's Kevin Ogletree?
Dissly was a guy that we mentioned on our waiver wire pickup episode. So
we did. Yeah, and I will make one side note. I tweeted it's great that Adrian Peterson had a good game, but it's just a reminder to go trade for Darius Geis on the low because if you insert Geis into that game,
oh my God.
It would have been a phenomenal game for Darius Geis. Just watching AP, I was visualizing Darius Geis in my head, and I was like, I gotta try to get him on the low from somebody.
So literally, that offensive line looks great. Mm-hmm. They finally look healthy. Jordan Reed being healthy, I think, helps a ton in the middle of the field. And yeah, if Geis was playing, oh man. It sucks that we can't see him, but I'm so excited for next year, the fact that we get to see him.
Yeah, I took him in a redraft league where you can keep players. If you draft them after the 10th round, you can keep them next year for a 10th round pick. I drafted Geis in the 14th, and I'm just going to sit on him all year, and he'll be my 10th round keeper next year.
Love it.
And then every year it goes up two rounds, so it'll be 8, 6. So I'll have Darius Geis for a while, and I love it because, yeah, Darius Geis is great. All right, so the next one we want to talk about is some quarterbacks here. Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield, I think Tyler and I are on the same page here. We have a feeling that we're going to see them sooner rather than later.
Rosen could be as soon as this coming week.
Oh, Bradford sucked.
I think it was on the Audible. They were talking, and I completely agree. He looks scared. Like, I think he's just scared.
One more hit, his career is over. Yeah.
Yeah, and he is scared to death to play quarterback, it seems. It sucks because, yeah, he was really good when healthy, but I think he's just lost it mentally now.
Yeah, I think once that gets in your head and you've gone through those injuries, he just didn't. I mean, I know the offense looked a lot different than it did last year, and I know there's some concerning stats like how they lined up David Johnson and the work that he got. He still got his touchdown, and he still looked good. He looked healthy, but his usage in the passing game and where he lined up was a little bit different. But, yeah, I got some concerns over Bradford as well. So I think if they go 0-3, 0-4, they're going to put Rosen in. I mean, are they going to really roll with an older quarterback? No. I think they're going to turn it over. And as far as the Browns go, Tyrod Taylor had a decent fantasy day, but when you actually watch the game, I wasn't overly impressed. He did had some nice scrambles. He had that long touchdown run of 20-plus yards. But other than that, Baker
can do it too.
Yeah, and I know the weather might have been a factor too. I mean, Big Ben throws like 4 picks, so it might have been the weather. Or the road. Yeah, that's right. I mean, they didn't lose, the Browns. But I think eventually you're going to see Baker, at least by midseason, is what it feels like.
I agree. I'd probably say week 6. And it's honestly just because Tyrod's a good quarterback, and I would not be shocked if the Browns trade Tyrod to a team that needs a quarterback. And maybe they keep him to mentor him, and then they let him go. But I think Baker just makes this offense a little more special.
It gives
it more oomph.
I knew you were going to say that. I set you up just lobbing softballs at you.
That was great. I needed nice. That.
So the last thing we want to talk about here in our notes, a couple things, is Dallas's offense and how brutal. I mean, it wasn't Buffalo Bills bad, but it wasn't very good. And then do you think both Seattle, so obviously losing Doug Baldwin 3 to 6 weeks, they really only have Tyler Lockett and a really old Brandon Marshall, who actually caught a touchdown, Jerron Brown and hopes and dreams on that wide receiving core, and Dallas – do you think either one of those teams makes a move at wide receiver? I mean, is there any moves to be made at this point? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, Dallas rewinds a clock, use the time stone, and they
never
go back
cut Dez.
They never cut Dez. Now, there could be some wide receivers available, like a Chris Conley, who could go. He could go somewhere. There's some wide receivers that could go to a team like Dallas or Seattle and be the wide receiver too. Mm-hmm. I did like what I saw from Gallup. Dak threw behind him a couple times, which made it difficult for Gallup. And Gallup caught one that was just like, okay. The fact that Gallup was able to catch that was amazing because Dak couldn't get the ball to him.
Yeah, Dak, man, he does not. I saw it tweeted out a few times, and it really made me think. Like, he does hold the ball forever.
Yep.
And he doesn't throw his anticipation. He does not throw guys open. He's waiting for, like, clean windows to throw to guys, and you can't do that and be successful in the NFL.
They should have pushed for Sammy because the Chiefs aren't using him, and Dallas would have just loaded him with targets.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably more of a salary cap thing because Dallas's cap situation is just terrible. Because
they had Dez on the team.
Even after they cut him, I mean, I think that was one of the reasons they cut Dan Bailey. It wasn't because he wasn't a good kicker. I think it was their salary cap is so incredibly tight.
Shanti was not picked up by any team, by the way. Bailey.
Yeah, some people were saying that like 20 teams would put a waiver in for him, and I was like, a kicker? Like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But whatever. So, Dallas's offense, I mean, Zeke, that offensive line didn't look nearly as good. Zeke still got his touchdown. The thing is, they're going to be a lot like Seattle, so we'll keep it with those two teams. They're going to be down in games, and Zeke isn't going to get 25 carries when they're down a score or two in these games. They're going to have to throw it a lot, just like Seattle does with Russell Wilson. You know, that was one of the things when people were like, oh, Chris Carson and Rashad Penny. I was like, yeah, but, I mean, for this year anyway, that they're going to be behind in games because their defense is bad in Seattle. Now, Dallas' defense, I think, is a good unit. I think they're an underrated unit. But if their offense can't score, they're going to be playing from behind.
Yep, and the only difference between Seattle and Dallas is Seattle has the ultimate GOAT for a D-gaff quarterback. And when Dak has to be that guy,
He'll make mistakes and turn it over.
Yeah, he makes mistakes.
Yep.
And then he puts it all on himself, which he shouldn't. And the year he did well, he didn't. It was schemed to him. Zeke destroyed. That offensive line was nuts. And that's another issue. Once Travis Frederick comes back, Dak will be more comfortable. But until then, it could be rough.
Absolutely. I had so many concerns about Dak this year. So in the Home Dynasty League, I had Dak and Jameis as my two quarterbacks. And we had the auction, and I went out and got Russell Wilson in the auction because I had obviously the concerns around Jameis with the 3-game suspension. But I was like, Dak is not good enough to help me three-peat in this league. Like, I need to make a move at quarterback. And Russell Wilson was available, and I got him at the auction. And I'm glad I did because I think that's going to be a key if I do want to three-peat in this league because I'm loaded everywhere else. But I think the key was me getting Russell Wilson and paying up. And that's the kind of thing when you build your dynasty teams – is being able to look at your roster as a whole and say, all right, if I want to be successful and I want to compete, where's my biggest need and how can I fill it? And that's exactly what I did. So hopefully Russell Wilson has a phenomenal year. He had a great week one.
I love Russell Wilson. Like I've said this how many weeks in a row. I think it's about time to get a Russell Wilson Funko Pop, but man, I love watching that guy play football.
Russell Wilson is
one of my
blast.
Favorite players in the NFL at the moment.
Absolutely. So let's wrap it up here and give me some of your early season dynasty buys right now. You've got four and I've got one. So you can go with your four and then I'll wrap us up here.
All right. I have Laletta in Superflex because Eli still looked okay.
He did play against Jacksonville. So
that's true.
Yeah.
But I mean, you give Odell, Sterling Shepard as many targets, I mean, you're going to succeed. But yeah, Laletta, I think, is a guy that everybody needs to buy in Superflex. I think he could be the successor. Kaiser, when he was in, I liked what I saw. I know
he did turn it over a couple times. But other than that,
he looked calm, which I loved. Like he looked like he wasn't nervous or anything. He just looked like he was there to play football. I know I'm biased with Kaiser because I love Kaiser. I think there's going to be a moment in time when Kaiser is a starter for a team. I don't know if it's Packers or not, but Rodgers, he's having some issues staying healthy.
The reason I have Kaiser in pigs too, and he made my final roster because if Rodgers does go down for an extended period of time, I know that I can flip that asset for a huge, huge payday.
I'm not in pigs too, so you would not be able to do that.
Well, there's other guys, but starting quarterbacks in that league, it's super flex. I could flip Kaiser for a bunch of picks probably and get more cash for next year.
Kaiser's not a bad quarterback, so we got to remind ourselves that even Green Bay in this draft class said that he would bend their top quarterback on the board. Now, my other one is Chubb. Chubb looked awesome when given the opportunity. The dude's vision looked great, just strong through the hole. Yes, I said that. But no, Chubb, I know he's kind of the forgotten man in this rookie class, along with Michelle. God, I can't wait for the time when Chubb comes and I can't wait for the time when Chubb comes and he destroys oppositions.
Nice.
And then my other one is Allen Robinson. Watching the game last night, he looks healthy. He looks good to go. He looks like the old Allen Robinson I saw.
He did look good.
Route running was crisp. Great hands. He had a bullet thrown to him by Trubisky, and he just snagged it.
He right caught out it in his teeth.
Man, I loved it. Allen Robinson is a huge buy for me. He had 7 targets in this game. Mm-hmm. Give him 3 more targets, he is going to be over 100, probably 5 catches over 100 yards. He needs to hit over 10 targets. I know that offense is going to take time to – I know we talked about it with Anthony Miller. It's going to take a little time to get better, to mold together. But it's coming. You can see it. In the first half, you could see that offense kind of start churning the...
Butter?
Yeah, the churning. I don't know why I said churning. But the gears were turning. Maybe that would work.
There you go. That works.
And it will get rolling before we know it. And Robinson is a guy that you need to go out and buy now before he just starts ripping and tearing.
Now, my guy is the same situation. So the San Francisco 49ers, they used George Kittle a lot, which was awesome to see because I own Kittle in a lot of spots. Marquise Goodwin went down with an injury. Garcon was banged up. Their best receiver in the preseason outside of Richie James was Dante Pettis, who looked great this preseason. Now, he came into this game. He scored a long touchdown. He just missed another one and then had another nice catch from Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's the thing. Pettis, for me, if you listen to this podcast or you listen to Trophy Time, I've said it a couple times, that Pettis, to me, is this year's Juju, which is a guy that not necessarily slipped, but you got later in your rookie drafts, and then he pays dividends in year one. I still believe that. I think Pettis is a great route runner. I think that he's going to get some really good rapport with Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's got a lot of talent. So I would say go out and get Dante Pettis now before he really starts to break out.
Yep, and that catch that he had... It's a catch that if anybody else caught it, it'd be a double catch where you have to catch it and then bring it to your body.
Yep.
He caught it and it was just in his hands. I know they brought up his father was a center fielder.
Yeah, Gary Pettis. Yep. I had some of his baseball cards back in the day because I'm old.
But man, when he caught the ball, I was like, yeah, not many people can make that catch like that.
Yeah, Pettis is legit.
Good hands.
Pettis is legit. So
he's a guy I'm happy I listened to you about.
Yeah, absolutely. So go get you some Dante Pettis. So that is going to wrap us up for Dynasty Happy Hour this week. We should be back next week, all three of us again, unless some kind of weird life thing happens. And you know what? It happens. So be it. But we should be back next week. Good time with just Tyler and I. We'll bring Tim back into the fold next week, and we'll talk to you about week 2. We'll go over our college observations for you Devy guys, and we'll bring you all the news when it comes to whether it's a signing or an injury. We'll have it all here on the Dynasty Happy Hour. So we will see you again in week 2.
Meet Virginia.
The That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.